Marshall V.N. Summers, welcome to Sphinx Radio.
Good to be with you today.
Now, Marshall, you have a wonderful book out I really enjoyed called The Great Waves of Change, Navigating the Difficult Times Ahead, and that is put out by New Knowledge Library, and it came out in 2009, and you also have a webpage, greatwavesofchange.org. To repeat that, it's greatwavesofchange.org, where people can get more information on your book and other works. Now, what are the great waves of change that you speak of, and what is causing them?
The great waves of change are a set of very large converging forces that have been largely generated by humanity, our overuse of the world, our impact upon the world environment, on its complex systems. They include certainly growing economic hardship and instability, and we're certainly experiencing that right now. It includes declining energy and natural resources, violent weather, changing climate, the depletion of our food production, problems in arable land and fresh water, and escalating the possibility of escalating worldwide conflict over who will have access to the remaining critical resources that fuel everything that we do.
How could these great waves of change affect the state of the world?
Well, the state of the world is held in its precarious balance by the availability of certain key resources, and we know right away what those can be. Certainly food, water, and energy stand at the top of the list, but the list is actually very, very long. And in fact, I've been watching the volcanic eruption in Iceland and seeing its devastating impact on the economy of Northern Europe, which is an amazing demonstration of how absolutely fragile and dependent are the mechanisms of our civilization are upon a stable environment. And when anything disrupts that environment, the domino effect of change, the domino effect of disruption is immediate. I mean, you can imagine for a moment if this eruption grew and grounded flights in Europe for a month, that it could literally destroy national economies. So it seems in the face of the great waves of change, these great converging forces, that our economies are like the canary in the cage. They're the most fragile aspect of our, you know, stable and civilized life, and certainly the first to be impacted.
What does this mean for us individually, both now and in the future?
What it really means, Bill, is that we're going to be facing a world and a set of circumstances that we're very unprepared for. Changing economic landscape, changing physical landscape. We're now dealing with an ever-increasingly unstable world climate system that is affecting food production everywhere in all corners of the world. We're facing economic disruption and instability, volatility, if you will, that's affecting the economic lives of people, and certainly what's happened in the last 18 months in Europe and the United States particularly is the fallout of the economic great waves of change has really affected millions of people who have lost homes and jobs and livelihoods. So the impact to us is really very immediate. It's not something that may happen in decades hence. It's not some future event that we can think about if we want to or ignore if we want to. It really has to do with the stability of our individual lives and the well-being of our families. And so the great waves of change has everything to do with our daily reality. And I hope we, in the course of our conversation today, we can talk about its impact and its connection to our deeper spiritual life as well.
What do you feel is really going to see humanity through this great change and upheaval ahead?
Well, certainly there has to be a reckoning of what's coming over the horizon. And I think that that's a very difficult thing for people to face individually. We're so accustomed, particularly in the wealthier nations, we're accustomed to a very stable life. We've been insulated from devastating change to a very great degree. We're not very adaptable to changing circumstances. We assume that government will take care of problems that we ourselves cannot deal with. And yet, events in recent times have proven, such as the New Orleans hurricane disaster and certainly the earthquake events in Haiti and Chile and other places are demonstrating that governments really cannot be relied upon to meet the needs of people facing critical change and even devastating change. And so it's as if the world is giving us signs that we need to prepare for a more volatile set of circumstances, and we need to prepare our own individual lives. And that's the focus of the Great Ways of Change, by the way, is really how to focus your individual life on dealing with entering into a world that will be increasingly unstable, where we'll have to face upheaval at many different levels.
Will the Great Waves of Change culminate in the year 2012, or will they continue to grow in scope after this?
Well, 2012, I think, is a prophetic marker of change. It's not, as a date, I don't think it's very significant. It's just another indicator that we're entering into a new era, a new cycle, as I believe that, Mayan priests would describe life in terms of cycles. And so it's just a marker of time, and certainly the Great Ways of Change are going to extend far into the future. In fact, I think in the next few years we're going to be experiencing what could be called the foothills of the Great Ways of Change. It's as if the kind of change that is described in the Great Ways prophecy, this prophetic writing in this book, really has to do with change on a global scale, on a scale that will affect every person in the world, even people living within the wealthy nations.
Many people are beginning to see what we're facing in this great change. What does your message offer to them?
Well, the uniqueness of this writing is that it gives people access to the source of their strength, the source of their integrity, and the source of their clarity about what is happening in the world around them, what they need to follow within themselves and within other people, and where they are going to find the strength and the certainty to do the things they need to do now to prepare for the great ways of change before great change is upon them. Because you have to prepare in advance for these sorts of things. And, you know, living in life isn't just about living in the moment. It's about living in the moment and preparing wisely for the future. But to prepare wisely for the future, you have to have a sense of what the future is building up to be. And the Great Ways of Change, I think, gives a very clear picture of what that will be like, the kind of future we're preparing for, and the different levels of preparation that people will have to undertake. Most profoundly, the internal preparation, because it's really what informs your decisions, what guides your decisions, that will be the most consequential for people in dealing with a radically changing environment.
How can people see for themselves what is coming and be less dependent on outside sources of authority, many of which have failed them?
Well, that's right, and we've seen the spectacular failure of vision and leadership regarding, you know, the economic collapse that we're still in the midst of, and that we may take a very long time to get out of, if ever. And I think we've come to recognize that people are going to have to be much more self-reliant and much more reliant upon one another in navigating the difficult times ahead. What's most important for people to know here is that the Creator of all life has endowed us with a deeper intelligence that is not afraid of the world, that knows what's coming over the horizon, and that will guide us, if we can listen to it and follow it, through the unpredictable, highly unpredictable circumstances to come. And I want to emphasize the word unpredictable, because the great ways to change, because there are so many of them, and because they're all impacting one another, are going to create a set of circumstances that will be nearly impossible to predict. So what you're going to have to rely upon now is not, you know, economic models and economic cycles of the past or the prophecies of the past. You're going to have to be in the moment, looking, paying attention, and recognizing the signs of the world, because the world is giving us signs about what is happening and what is to come. And in fact, if people visit the Great Ways of Change website, we have a worldwide Great Waves news flash there, which is giving just some samples of the signs the world is giving us about the great change that is coming. So if you're going to prepare for the future, you have to face the future. You have to look ahead, and you have to begin to pay attention to not everything that goes on in the world, but the things that are the most important, the things that really stand out. And you can feel this emotionally. You can feel within yourself when you're looking at something that is really speaking to you, that isn't just an event in the world, but that is really a sign of things to come.
How is it that so many outside are failing to see what is coming?
Well, people live in the moment, and they live under the constant assurance that government or God will take care of them, that if things are going to be there in the future for them, the stores will be filled, the banks will be open, everything will be running somehow, in some way. And that is the assurance that government and economic leaders certainly give people, because it's an article of faith to begin with. And so people are constantly reassured that it's going to be better. We're in recovery now. There are green shoots. And this constant emphasis on it's okay, we're in charge, we're taking care of it, keeps people in a state of dependence. And I think a kind of blind dependence that somehow, some way, institutions and authority figures are going to be able to take care of whatever problems arise. And that makes people very lazy and dependent. And certainly there's an economic aspect to this, that if people really began to pay attention to the signs of the world, they would stop being needless consumers. Consumerism would decline in this country. And this country's economy is built upon runaway consumerism. So there's an economic picture, there's a social picture, there's a political picture, but most importantly, there's a spiritual connection that has everything to do with why we're all in the world at this time, because there's a connection between the great ways of change and who we are and what we're really here to do in life.
What do you feel holds people back from being able to see for themselves what is really happening?
Well, we're not encouraged to do that. No one is preparing us for the difficult times ahead. And there's a fear factor within everyone. I mean, we all have, part of us is weak and part of us is strong. And the part of us that's weak is fearful and self-protective and wants to believe in greater powers, whether they be governmental or religious or social or historical, whatever they might be. And so the weaker part of us wants to live in a state of constant assurance that everything will be okay and will be taken care of for, like children. It's the way that children think, because children have to depend upon those things. But when adults begin to think like that or perpetuate that kind of thinking, it leads to a kind of blindness and irresponsibility or inability to respond that now becomes very life-threatening. It's a very serious matter. And certainly, people are led to believe, as I mentioned earlier, that other people are taking care of these problems for them, that the grand infrastructure of society will take care of you, speaking to your listeners here, that you'll be taken care of, don't worry, we'll take care of you. And of course, the government can't take care of people, really. It can't even meet the great needs and the great crises that are emerging on the horizon now. So this is going to throw people back, if they can get over the shock and dismay of this, to back on a position of inner self-reliance. And that's what the Great Ways of Change really advocates, a reliance upon the power of knowledge within the individual and the power of knowledge within others, because this is what's going to inform your wise decisions and enable you to see things, know things, and do things that other people are not seeing, knowing, and doing.
People often don't act in their own best interests. Why do you feel this is the case?
Well, that's a complicated question, and there's various aspects to the answer of that, why people don't act in their own best interests. I think certainly there's a laziness in people that they don't want to have to deal with difficult change and difficult decisions. People are benefiting to some degree off the way things are today. They don't want to risk giving up that benefit or having it be challenged. There's our need for social acceptance and approval from other people, the influence of family and friends, the deferral to political powers, religious powers, social powers. This all represents the weak aspect of us, because as I mentioned before, part of us is wise and strong, and part of us is weak and dependent. It is a part of us that's wise and strong that I think is epitomized in the reality of this deep inner intelligence that we've been given to guide us, that we're going to have to rely upon to navigate the difficult times ahead.
Your book, even on the cover, asks the question, how are you going to know what to do? Well, how are people going to know what to do?
Well, that's kind of the critical question that the Great Waves of Change writings really addresses. It's not what are governments going to do. It's not about social agendas, political agendas. It's not about evil cartels or conspiracy theories. This is about how are you, the individual, going to know what to do in facing a world of immense and unpredictable change. Are you going to hide? Are you going to go into denial? Are you going to just vent your anger at corrupt political forces? Because certainly corruption will be ever more revealed as we go along. Or are you going to find that inner strength, that kind of clarity and determination that we all have and can exercise in times of crisis? You know, it's the idea of the house on fire. When the house is on fire, people jump into a different state of mind. They enter a state of mind of action, determination, and responsibility to save themselves and to save other people. But it is this state of mind we're going to have now increasingly amongst as many people as possible to go into the future and be able to navigate these difficult waves, to survive them, and to actually benefit from them. And that is the key ingredient within the individual. So the Great Ways of Change really speaks to you, the person, and poses the difficult question, how are you going to know what to do? And it answers that question by pointing you to the source of your inner strength and power, as well as giving you many things to do practically on the outside regarding where you live and your relationships and all the kinds of decisions you're going to have to make on your outer life. But one of the interesting things that the New Message writings emphasizes is that most of this preparation, we're talking about long-term preparation for a long-term set of events here, is going to have to be internal. Because everything that we do and the consequences of everything we do is dependent upon the decisions that people make. And the quality and the veracity of those decisions is based upon what informs them. We have the power of knowledge within each of us, within you, to make really wise decisions if we can connect with that which can inform those decisions, the wisest and most powerful part of us. Otherwise, we'll just make decisions that other people make, we'll take our cues from other people, and we'll all go hand in hand over the edge. It's like the lemmings going over the cliff, taking their cues from one another. And that's often what people do when they do not have this inner power of knowledge to guide them. And this is going to really mean the difference between life and death for people, because not everyone is going to survive the great waves of change.
Your writings speak about knowledge. What do you mean by knowledge?
Knowledge represents our deeper spiritual intelligence, an intelligence that's very unlike our intellects, an intelligence that does not debate, intelligence that does not condemn, an intelligence does not weigh the evidence. It is not guided by the kind of human logic that serves us in some cases and betrays us in others. It really represents the greatest power and strength that we have individually and collectively. But very few people know of it, and very few people use it or follow it. And so it seems to be amazingly rare in our human experience. And when someone does exemplify knowledge, they often can demonstrate, you know, magnificent qualities, great contributions, great inventions, the kinds of things that move humanity forward and give the human family real strength. And so we can see these in the people that we admire, the people who have made great demonstrations in life. And that is the outward expression of this knowledge that I'm talking about.
Is knowledge that you speak of the same as intuition?
Well, intuition is the beginning of the experience of knowledge. People think of intuition as fleeting moments of insight or precognition. But I'm talking about where all that comes from. When you track that down to where that's come from, and that has been a large part of my exploration and inner work and the writings that I do, is where does this all come from? If we are able to have prescience and wisdom, where does this reside within us? And where does it come from? And so I invite your listeners to visit newmessage.org. That's where most of the writings, what I call the New Message writings, are listed, and I have entire books up there for people to read, as well as audio teachings and all kinds of things that people can visit and use, you know, without cost, because I have readers and students all over the world now. And part of this preparation has to do with exploring this power and this presence of knowledge that lives within each person.
This world is run by a small echelon of people who are driving political, social, and religious trends. How can knowledge in the people counteract and overcome these forces?
Well, the power of knowledge in people overcome these seemingly dominating forces because knowledge is not guided by them, it's not influenced by them. This deeper power within you called knowledge is incorruptible. And so it is not subject to the kind of social influence that affects everyone and everyone's thinking. And to talk a little bit more about knowledge, I'd like to read, this is from Steps to Knowledge. This is the book of inner practice in guiding people to the power and presence of knowledge. And I'd like to read this definition of knowledge. This is in step 10 of the book Steps to Knowledge. What is knowledge? Let us say that knowledge is not the things that are usually associated with it. It is not ideas. It is not a body of information. It is not a system of belief. It is not a process of self-evaluation. It is the great mystery of your life. Its outward manifestations are profound intuition, great insight, inexplicable knowing, wise perception in the present and in the future, and wise understanding of the past. But despite these great achievements of mind, knowledge is greater than this. It is your true self, a self that is not apart from life.
Is there enough time to prepare? Is there enough time to prepare and to prevent disaster?
We're not going to be able to prevent the impact of the great waves of change to a certain point, but we certainly can mitigate them. And the more people that are prepared for the great waves, the less damaging impact they will have, and the more people will be able to use the great waves of change to reorganize their life and to gain access to the greater purpose that has brought them here, because we've all come into the world at this time to face these great waves of change. This is not just a big accident on the horizon. It's not just a big misfortune. It's actually what the world is going to be going through. And in that sense, it represents an evolutionary phase of our human existence on this in this world. And the great waves of change also include our encounter with intelligent life in the universe, the dangers of contact, and what contact can really mean. So that's a whole other aspect of the great waves of change that we probably don't have time to talk about today, but there's two chapters in the great waves of change that deal with the hidden reality of contact with life in the universe, foreign races who are in our world today, and that has a big part to play in how we will perceive the great waves of change and how we will respond to them.
What does the preparation include?
The preparation includes a reevaluation of your outer life and circumstances in light of the great waves of change as you understand them. It includes taking the steps to knowledge within yourself so that you can find the source and center of your strength and inner power. It involves a reassessment of your activities and your relationships. There's a chapter in The Great Waves of Change called The Deep Evaluation that goes in great detail about every aspect of your life that you need to consider in the light of great environmental and economic change.
You write that inner preparation is more important than outer preparation. Why is that?
Well, when we think of preparation for the great waves, there's short-term preparation and long-term preparation. And certainly there's only so much you can do in your outer life to deal with the possible consequences or the known consequences of the kind of change that is coming over the horizon. For example, you can't stockpile food for the rest of your life. You can't go find some place to hide in the world where you'll be totally safe, because there will be no such place in a great waves world. You're going to have to face the great waves and allow the great waves themselves, along with the power of your inner certainty, to determine what kind of change and preparation you're going to have to make. And this comes in more into your internal life, because it means you have to decide what you're going to listen to within yourself, what you're going to listen to in other people. What is the measure of integrity of your own life? What is the measure of integrity that you look for in other people? Who can you recognize to be a wise leader in your community or for your nation? How are you going to make difficult decisions, and what is going to inform those decisions? And ultimately, what is going to give you the strength to follow the decisions you decide to make? These are all things that are going to have immense impact on what happens to people and whether they're going to be consumed by the great ways of change or whether they're going to be able to be relatively safe. You know, it's, again, we come back to the volcanic eruption in Iceland. And if this is volcanic eruption, for example, which is now about a week old in its second eruption, if this continues for weeks and months, what are people going to do? How are they going to know what to do? This, again, is a kind of like a fire drill in the world, but it's a very important thing to watch because, first of all, one volcanic eruption, which is something that is not unusual in the world, in fact, is a major eruption about once a year in the world. And Iceland has 22 volcanic active volcanoes, and it has an eruption every 5 years. So to watch how unprepared European powers are for a volcanic eruption of this scale is really a sign that we are still living in the moment under a set of assumptions that we're going to have a safe and secure future, when in fact the future can blow up at any minute. And that nature is a dynamic process. We don't live in a static world. We live in a dynamic world. And we're changing the world now to such an extent and overusing its critical resources to such an extent that we're going to have to be facing a world in decline as if we're a growing population drinking from a slowly shrinking well. And so the challenge that I set before people, which is not just a scary thing to think about, which is really a gift of love and preparation. This is why this teaching was revealed to me. This is why I am sharing with other people. This is why I'm passionate about this subject, is people have the power to know what to do in difficult times, and they have the power to make wise decisions. So what is going to bring people to find and use that power? And that is a question that every person has to answer for themselves.
You emphasize that people's higher purpose is connected to the great waves of change. What is the connection?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, we've all come into the world for a purpose. This is a fundamental premise that I hold to because I believe it to be true. And I've seen it demonstrated to be true. And if that is true, then we've come into the world to deal with the world at this time and the world of the immediate future. And so there's a connection between that higher purpose and what the world is undergoing and what is happening in the world. Not every event in the world, but primarily the big events in the world, the kind of events and the great ways of change that are going to affect people everywhere. And I have recently traveled extensively. I went around the world late last year. And everywhere I go, I ask people, how do you feel about the future? And so often I get the same response that people's faces become drawn, and they say, oh, not good. I'm worried about the future. And this concern about the future, which I think is very fundamental, I think it's actually very true that people are having this experience, is an indicator that at some level we know that our world is going to be changing in a big way. And we may not know what to do about it, we may not know how to respond, but people are still having the experience at a deeper level, apprehending great change in the world. Despite your optimistic outlook, despite your plans and goals, despite what you want, and all that, at a deeper level, people know that something big is coming. And it's to prepare people for this great change that this book was written for the individual.
Where can people find the strength to overcome fear in their social conditioning in order to redirect their lives?
Well, the power of fear and social conditioning is pretty formidable. I mean, it has shaped the world that we see. It has created the world that we see. When you think of, for instance, the economic system is basically, the investment world is run by greed and fear. I mean, these are powerful forces in people. The ability to face the great ways of change, to begin to assess the great ways of change, takes real courage. This is something that people don't generally want to do. They don't want to have to look at things like this. They don't want to have to think about the possibility and the need to make great decisions. They don't want to be troubled with the world interfering in their own personal sphere, their own personal goals and objectives. And so there has to be a greater power within you that can overcome this self-defensive response to life. It makes people just want to shut down. It makes people want to go into denial. It makes people not want to see and know or have to act in a courageous and effective manner. And this greater power is the power of knowledge that is much more powerful than our fears and even our social conditioning, which so determines how we think and feel about so many things. And that's why, at the end of the day, the most important thing is the power and the presence of this knowledge. And if people would like to explore what knowledge means for them and what they can do, we have some very important events coming up here. I'm living in Boulder, Colorado. The first Friday of every month, we have a New Message broadcast where we present part of the New Message teaching, dealing with the very kinds of things that I'm talking about and navigating the difficult times ahead. This May 7th, the first Friday in May, we're going to be broadcasting a teaching called Navigating the Difficult Times Ahead, which is going to be talking about, in much greater detail, I think, the reality of the great ways of change and how we need to respond to them and the kinds of preparations we can begin to make today. And then on July 9th and 10th, we're going to have a doorway event here in Boulder, Colorado, where people come from all over the world to study the great ways of change, to study the way of knowledge. And I will invite your listeners to visit newmessage.org to learn about these events, to learn about the broadcast, to take advantage of the many resources that we make available to people everywhere to prepare for a radically changing world.
Well, Marshall, we're about out of time. I just want to give out the title of the book again. It is The Great Waves of Change, Navigating the Difficult Times Ahead, and that is put out by New Knowledge Library, 2009. I'd like to thank you very much for coming on Sphinx Radio. I would also like to invite you back again. There was, you know, that's a lot to unpack. And could you give us out your web pages just one more time for people who'd like information?
Yes, thank you. The main website is newmessage.org. We are a nonprofit organization, and most of my writings are on newmessage.org, including Steps to Knowledge, which people can study at no cost online, as well as some of the original audio recordings of the New Message teachings, and which covers just about every subject you can imagine. For the Great Ways of Change, you can visit thegreatwaysofchange.org, where we have a world news flash of Great Ways events occurring in the world, which are happening almost on a daily basis now. To learn more about humanity's contact with intelligent life in the universe and how we need to prepare for that, you can visit alliesofhumanity.org. So I invite your listeners to explore these resources, to make a tremendous amount available to people. I want people to have this understanding and this preparation because we need to begin to start preparing today.
Very good, Marshall. Thank you. And you come back again and give us some updates.
I'd be happy to do that. Thank you, Bill.
Very good. Okay, we're all set. We're off air now. And I'm going to edit this and put it up this afternoon. It went very well. And that will good. This will direct people there. I sent a copy of your book to my old professor, Jacob Needleman, out in California.
Oh, good. Thank
so he says similar things, not exactly, but I'll let you know what he thinks of it.
Very good. I appreciate that, Bill, and look forward to another opportunity to be with you on the show.
Very good. Bye-bye for now.
Take care. Thank you.